Secretary Gates has promised to deliver $78 billion in savings over the period 2012 to 2016, and that's compared to the plan last year. However, the administration overall has pulled more than $400 billion out of the total budget authority for those years, and 200 of that coming out of discretionary. So comparatively speaking, DOD has done fairly well. I think when we take a close look, we see that much of the savings that Secretary Gates is promising gets swallowed by increased war spending. When we compare the plan of last year and this year, more money is allocated to maintaining our troops in Afghanistan and Iraq, and it virtually eliminates all of the savings in the base budget. So in terms of actual contribution to deficit reduction, there isn't much from DOD. Taking DOD's perspective, they've done pretty well.
And overall, and it's funny that we're a little bit odd that we're talking about 2012 when, for the first time in as long as I can remember, DOD doesn't have a 2011 budget yet.
And it's indicative of the level of concern around the deficit. We're likely to see more action in the future. I don't know that the present plan, the administration's plan for the five-year period, 12 through 16, will actually stand. So there's going to be more pressure, and it's especially going to focus on the Department of Defense, largely because in the administration's plan, it comes away better off than other areas. So if there's going to be more extraction from the plan, much of the focus will be on DOD.
Yesterday, we were talking with Todd Harrison over at the Center for Strategic and Budgetary Assessment, and he was saying that this 2011 situation actually puts, and Secretary Gates said it yesterday, puts DOD in a very difficult position because they're having to pay for raises that have been approved, but the money hasn't been approved. And it's kind of this, it's an odd way to run an organization, it feels like.
Well, it is. It's as you said, it's an extraordinary circumstance. The amounts of money we're talking about, the difference between the what the resolution provides and what the DOD looked for, are not necessarily so large. We may be looking at something on the scale of 2% of the total budget. That's a problem, but I think it falls into the category of management. That those savings can be had. DOD has dealt with rapid drawdowns, unexpected drawdowns in the past. And we need to remember, too, that the initiative that Secretary Gates put forward on 6 January, where he said that they had found or will find $78 billion in savings, was matched with an initiative that has been ongoing for a year, where DOD would find $100 billion in additional money that it hoped to move into new purchases. This was actually money moving inside of DOD from one set of objectives to another. The Fiscal Commission last year put its crosshairs on that $100 billion and said, well, it should go toward toward deficit reduction. DOD, of course, disagrees. But the point here is that there is a pool of money. There are some savings that that DOD has identified that it hopes to use to accelerate purchases of weapons. Some of that may have to go toward closing the gap for this year.
Of course, a lot of people in the D.C. region, defense contractors tied to defense in some way, should they be nervous about the trends here?
Well, I think that there's going to be a fair amount of pain in the future. Regardless of what the amount we identify, everybody seems to agree that there are going to be cuts. That Secretary Gates looking to remove $78 billion, which is about 2.5% from last year's plan compared to this year's, and now we're talking about that 2012-2016 period.
Yeah.
Deficit reduction hawks, the fiscal commission last year, they're targeting more in the neighborhood of $300 to $400 billion for that period, and of course across the entire budget, this is the case. It's not just a question of DOD. So deficit reduction equals pain. There are going to be reductions, and that means that defense contractors of all sorts certainly have got to be worried about where they'll fall out in the future.
In terms of, if you're a manager, if you're somebody who has to actually do these things and carry out, it seems like you also have to look at your world is changing too in this age of austerity.
It's something that we've been through before. It's not something entirely new. We've been in a process of going up since 1998, and we've seen the DOD budget increase by 100%, about half of that due to wars and half of it due to modernization and other initiatives. That followed a period of the budget coming down, and it reduced by a good 30% on a year-to-year basis.
I was reading a piece in the National Journal a couple weeks ago where they were saying in some ways it forces you to make choices, and in some ways the choices, and it's one that the Pentagon has been debating for years now, but it's between whether we have more people or do we have more technology, and it seems like that debate is probably still going to go on.
Well, we have always emphasized our qualitative edge, except in the course of the Second World War, and even then, to a fair extent, we saw ourselves relying on our technological capacity, but also the skill of our personnel. The switch from a volunteer to a professional force was in part. An effort to bring a more professional force to bear, a force that would stick with the services for a longer period of time, really looking to upgrade our access to personnel, and this emphasis on quality over quantity is quintessentially American. So it's not just a question of technology; it's also a question of skilled personnel. And there are, of course, trade-offs to be made. When you have a force that emphasizes quality over quantity, that means that every person is going to cost more than would be the case in a conscript military. And you're going to want to equip those people with the best materials available. That has been our approach. So we'll always face that trade-off. But it's not just people versus technology. It's really size versus quality.